This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. The fight to unionize employees of the huge multinational courier company DHL has taken a giant step forward. DHL is owned by the German postal system, Deutsche Post. It has been refusing to allow workers in countries other than Germany to form unions. In the most scandalous case, it fired workers in Turkey who were trying to organize. But DHL has now been forced to change its ways and start recognizing unions in all the countries it operates in. In Turkey, 1,600 workers have now won the right to form a union of their choice. The turnaround comes because two global union federations filed a case under the multinational guidelines of the OECD. The OECD is an organization of mainly economically rich countries. UNI, the Global Union for Skills and Services, and the International Transport Workers Federation, the ITF, filed the case alleging anti-union behavior by DHL in November 2012. The case was brought before the OECD National Contact Point, the NCP, in Germany. The result was a joint statement by DHL, the ITF, and UNI that DHL would stop its anti-union behavior in all the countries in which it operates. I talked to Christy Hoffman about DHL. Ms. Hoffman is the Deputy General Secretary of UNI. I asked her about the case brought against DHL.
We brought the case in November of 2012. And we allege some violations in about 12 countries, and the OECD guidelines are enforced through national contact points. And in this case, the national contact point in Germany accepted the case for 5 countries, Indonesia, Colombia, India, Turkey, and Vietnam. And we started a process of mediation to see whether we could figure out solutions for those 5 countries, which we were able to more or less agree on some steps forward for all of those countries. In Turkey, 1,600 unions were able to be recognized with the union, to have a union of their choice. Colombia and India, we were able to achieve a real assessment to try to open up the opportunities for workers to have a union there, and an industrial relations assessment. I think in Colombia, there's certainly our allegation is that there is a considerable fear among the workforce, and we want to do what we can to eliminate that. And you know, some progress to recognize the union in Indonesia and Vietnam as well. So we issued a joint statement that was a result of meetings over many months.
Does UNI find the OECD guidelines for multinationals useful in fighting for the respect of workers' rights?
We have in the past, yes, because these are the rules of the road for multinationals, such as they are. They are mandatory, they're obligatory on for all governments that are adherent to the OECD, who belong to the OECD, and then plus some other governments who don't belong to the OECD but have agreed to adhere to the guidelines. And we found that they can be a really useful opportunity to engage the government of the home country, the multinational management and leadership, agreed in principle to a code of conduct or rules of responsibility that would include the OECD guidelines, but the problem can arise more often in the actual implementation of that on the ground. And, you know, we're there on the ground with our affiliates to know what's happening, and sometimes we find that the guidelines are a really useful way to surface those allegations and get them resolved. So I don't say that it's a one-fit, you know, it's an always a perfect solution or a perfect process, but we think that mostly our experience has been that the NCPs take this seriously. They want to look at the allegations. They bring the multinationals management to the table, and the process of mediation has been really useful for us in some cases.